From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
All right, it is time for another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Steve Hill. I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, what is happening? How's your day going so far?
My day's going pretty well. Just, you know, lots of craziness with the tornadoes and
right
coronavirus coming into the Middle Tennessee area. But with all the tornado recovery projects, it seems that, I mean, they call Tennessee the volunteer state, and we have completely supported that name because they've actually I was signed up for a project to do some community canvassing to find out different families' needs in North Nashville, and they actually canceled four or five projects over the weekend because they had an influx of volunteers a few days before that, and we're like, we don't need the help anymore, and they've been doing that all over the city. So that's a great problem to have. The destruction is just not even comprehensible, so it's going to take a long time to rebuild, but we're all coming together and things are going as good as they are, as you would think.
As they can, yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that you guys are having so much support. And for people who are, you know, not in the Tennessee area and would like to help with the recovery efforts, remember you can donate to the Middle Tennessee Emergency Response Fund at cfmt.org. And if you're feeling like pitching in. So I'm happy to hear that things are going okay on that front. We've got quite a bit to talk about on the show today. We've got the Waco Annual Charity Open coming up this weekend. Sarah, this has turned into like one of my preferred events. I don't know. I like the course. I like that we get into some woods pretty quickly. You know, a couple soft shots here and there, but big scoring and always kind of close down the stretch. We've had a couple years with a playoff or coming down really, really close. So stoked about that. We're going to preview that later. Sarah Hokum is going to join the show, talk a little about Waco and Women's Global Event. And so that should be good. And then you mentioned the coronavirus stuff in Tennessee. It's kind of getting everywhere. And, you know, the PDGA did put out a statement about it, and I would like to make sure that we, you know, read that on the air and people kind of understand what we're doing on our end of things. So this is on the announcement section of PDGA.com. It is PDGA guidance regarding COVID-19. And more or less, I'm gonna get to more of the point here. You can read this all yourself, but it says, for the time being and until further notice, the PDGA's 2020 Major, Elite Series, and Euro Tour events will continue as planned. The PDGA will not prohibit tournaments from taking place, nor will it prohibit players from competing in events. And then this is kind of the big important part to me. Determining whether these events can take place and decisions related to travel and access restrictions should rest with local authorities, national association partners, and tournament directors where the event is due to take place. So pretty much the stance right now is, you know, check with your local authorities. That's the biggest thing right now with disc golf being kind of an outdoor sport. Obviously, Sarah, you know, you and I were kind of talking before the show. Several municipalities are taking a lot of measures to encourage social distancing. South by Southwest, the big music festival, lifestyle festival in Austin, was canceled. I believe I heard earlier today, Coachella and Stagecoach were postponed. Even in California, up in Santa Clara County, like the San Jose Sharks are going to be playing games with no fans. Those are all like enclosed space kind of things. Disc golf being outdoors apparently kind of minimizes the risk, but we are, you know, obviously we do encourage players to use common sense and follow some, you know, guidelines for preventive measures that the CDC and the WHO have put out. Biggest one, wash your damn hands, people. I'm sorry, I know this is supposed to be a family program, but wash your hands. And this goes for, I'm sorry, this goes for
all
life
around
before the coronavirus, people. I can't, if I had a dollar for every time I was washing my hands in the bathroom and some nasty dude walked out without doing it, I wouldn't have to be working for the PDGA. I'd be rich. So wash your hands, people. I went to Target the other day, Sarah, and like, does your local stores have people started grabbing like everything? Is stuff like,
well,
like
I'm
soap?
Not sure because of the tornadoes just happened. So sure, I'm pretty sure they're grabbing it for that, but
like all the I went to Target the other day and the soap shelf is empty.
Good.
Which yes, it's good.
But
however,
also,
were you people not washing your hands before? Anyway, that's the big one. Wash your hands regularly, thoroughly, you know, sing happy birthday to yourself a couple times. There's actually, I think there's a website. It's called Wash Your Lyrics. And it's like, it'll set different tunes, different songs that you like to spread out your hand washing.
Nice.
That's kind of fun. You know, I mean, there's that's maybe a little too lighthearted, but anyway, wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes and your nose and your mouth, which is obviously, you know, just don't touch your face. And then keep your distance from people if you need to. And then the biggest thing, if you don't feel well, go seek medical attention and, you know, stay home. Think of the community outside of just you. I think, like, if I can hop on my soapbox for a second here, my personal soapbox, you know, something that's been a little bit unsettling to me about this whole situation. I get it. People don't want to panic, and it can very easily come off as like mass hysteria. And if you follow the news, like, you know, it can be hard to figure out where your attention should lie and everything. But the one thing that seems unsettling to me is when people feel like it's probably not going to impact them. And so they're not taking steps that can help it not impact others. Personally, I'm a relatively healthy, you know, I'm not going to say my age, year old male. And no, I'm 37. And
you're that old?
I'm almost 38. It's bad.
Ugh.
I am not terribly worried, or that if I were to get the coronavirus, I would more than likely, by the statistics and how it's been going, I would more than likely probably get like mild symptoms and be okay. However, my wife has a compromised immune system. She has Crohn's disease, and she takes a shot every couple months that, in order to keep that under control, suppresses her immune system. She's way more susceptible to this kind of stuff than I or our daughter are. And so it's, you know, it's not just about you yourself. Like, there's people out in your community who you may not know what their situation is. You don't, they could be walking around looking just fine, but they may have some underlying health condition that they will not respond well to something like this. So please, I implore people who are listening to think of your whole community when you're trying to take some of these measures, you know. So do the basics, wash your hands. You know, it'll be okay if you don't high five somebody after they hit a sweet shot, right? Bump elbows, or, you know, fist bump even, which you should have been doing that already. High fives and handshakes are gross, people. I was a germaphobe before it was cool to be a germaphobe, Sarah. So, like,
you know what my favorite thing is for celebratory actions is like a little hip bump, like side by side hip bump.
Yeah,
that's
there you
my
go.
Favorite.
Yeah.
You can style one.
So anyway, I know it may sound
cover
like
your sneeze. Dab in your I always say dab in your elbow.
Dab,
when you sneeze.
Dab
or
while
cough.
You sneeze. You can hear me. You can hear the sound going lower because I'm covering my mouth with my elbow. Yeah. Basic stuff, people. And I know it can be hard, and I know we all have difficult habits that we can be hard to break. I realized I was thinking about this. I was out running. I apparently am a spitter when I run. And I didn't really but I wasn't thinking about that until now. So like there's just, you know, you've got to think about people beyond just you and your situation. So like that's all I ask as a fellow human being. I know you don't want to panic. You don't have to. You just have to think about your fellow human beings. So please do that. Be good to, you know, your community around you, and just take some of those preventative measures. Keep your distance, wash your hands, and, you know, if you're not feeling good, just stay at home. It's okay. Like, there's going to be another disc golf tournament. There's going to be another event. You know, I have Pearl Jam tickets. Like, I was going to go see Pearl Jam for the first time in my life. They're like my last bucket list band. They postponed their whole first leg of the tour. I'm super bummed, but like, it's probably for the greater good. So like, this is a situation where don't panic, just think about the greater good, and we'll all get through it. So, you know, if you do have any questions about how this might affect you or your tournament, you can always hit up our staff. We have a contact form on the PDJ website. You can see our withdrawal and refund policy, which is in the competition manual, section 1.03. That's applying as usual. And, you know, as an organization, as it relates to disc golf, the PDJ is going to be monitoring this and will issue any other guidance if we need to. With regards to Waco this weekend, the Disc Golf Pro Tour also put out some guidance. They're bringing in more hand washing stations, which I think is awesome. Good for them. You know, they encourage people to maybe limit fan interactions or physical touching, things like just, we're all just taking these preventative measures, and that's all we can ask for people to do. So, keep doing that, and hopefully we'll all be good to go. You got anything to add to that, Sarah? Sorry, I got a little too soapboxy today.
Nope. That's pretty much all I got.
That's okay, because a soapbox, it's made of soap.
I know, I was going to make that joke when you first said it, but decided to
all the people. I mean, it's good. Let's just hope that we get more soap back in the store. Like, what happens if we run out of soap?
Good question.
We have problems. I know. Anyway, all right. Yeah. So, yeah. There are, like, places that, like, are putting out recipes for hand sanitizer. It's wild. So
I'm just happy
anyway,
I work
just,
from home.
We do both have that luxury. Like, but for people who don't have that luxury, yes, know that we're with you, and we, you know, we want you to be healthy and safe with people. So anyway, let's see here. What else we got today, Sarah? I think, you know, as much as I don't want to like take a break right after we talk about all this health stuff, but so let's go, let's just get into the hot rounds. Let's do the hot rounds before the break today. And then we'll taught Sarah Hokum, because I feel like you know,
we should bring up the mood a little bit.
It's just too harsh. Yeah, exactly. Right.
So
let's get some hot rounds in here and see what happened over the weekend, because there was still quite a bit of disc golf going on. Sarah, what do you got for us?
Yes. So the fifth hottest rated round on the FPO side was from my girl Melody Bailey. Glad to see she was
oh man, yeah.
She was working with a finger injury. The last time I played with her was in Worlds 2018, and she had finger surgery, and I'm glad she's bouncing back from that. But she shot a 941, her second round at the Rat City Rumble, supported by Innova to take first place.
Where is Rat City?
I am almost there. Internet going slow in Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the Rat City
is. I don't know. There's probably a story behind it.
There's something there. The next hottest rated round was from Megan Ramirez. She shot a 946, her first round, to take second place at the 18th annual Crush on the Concho, powered by Prodigy. And I believe that was in Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. The next hottest rated round was Owen Scoggins. She played in the WCDG's 2020 Surf City Open, supported by Innova Champion Discs. That was
City's Huntington Beach. You don't have to look that one up. I got you covered there.
Gotcha. Thanks. She shot a 953, her first round to take first place. Congratulations. And then we have another event that was over in Texas, the Alvin Charity Open, presented by Alvin Noon, Lions Club, and Gorilla Disc Golf, driven by Innova. Christina Lithicum and Casey Pennington both shot 965s their first round, and Christina took second place to Casey's first place. So congratulations to both of you. I believe they're also both playing in the Waco annual charity event that we'll talk about that's upcoming this weekend. And then the hottest rated round was from none other but Katrina Allen. She shot a 979, her second round to take first place at the Crush on the Concho as well.
Very nice.
Yes.
All right. So we are going to head out to Columbia, South Carolina, a place you know a little bit about, right, Sarah?
It's the same course that I run my ladies and gents event on.
There we go. This was the 31st annual Earlwood Classic, and our fifth hottest rated round comes from Mr. Jason Lin. He shot a 1057 rated second round, and he ended up winning that event. 997 rated player, defeating none other than Barry Schultz by three shots. So nicely done, Jason Lynn.
Yes.
10:06, 10:54, 10:01, 10:22. So good job, Jason, and congrats on the W. Out at the Camp Durant Classic, this was in Carthage, North Carolina. It just would not be a hot rounds list if Dan Hastings did not make an appearance. Man, Dan Hastings is ruling the hot rounds this year. We're going to have to, we're going to have to name these after him. Anyway, he shot also a 10:57 and he came in second place. Back out at the Earlwood Classic, this was Alex Durham, shot a 10:64. Wow, 10:64 rated third round. That was a big one and he ended up coming in sixth place. Let's see here. Coming back out to the West Coast at that West Coast Disc Golf 2020 Surf City Open. This would be like, I think the third course in the world. I want to say Huntington Beach Central Park is. It's one of the first like four or five courses. I think it's the third though. Anyway, this was Kyle Ekman and he tossed a 10:65 rated second round and he came in second place. All right. Moving on, now we did mention Barry Schultz at the Earlwood Classic. He did not win, but he did shoot a 10:65 rated opening round, which is pretty nice, and he came in second place. We've mentioned this name on the show a little bit as someone to watch out for this year. Austin Hoop shot a 10:76 rated, I believe, let me see here just to confirm. Yeah, this was his final round out at the ACO 9. Right? IX, if we're going with Roman numerals, Sarah, can you confirm? IX
confirmed.
Is 9? Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure. This is the ACO 9 presented by Storm Discs, and this was out in Roswell, New Mexico, and Austin ended up winning that event. Congratulations, Austin. And our hottest rated round of the weekend from none other than Emerson Keith at the 18th annual Crush on the Concho in San Angelo, Texas, home of the Jomez Pros. He shot a 10:81 rated opening round, ended up winning the event by one shot. A lot of, it was kind of a fun mix of people at that event, Sarah. We had, Kevin Jones out there, Colt Montgomery, Brian Earhart, Austin Hannum. And then, you know, we actually had some of the media guys out playing, Jerry Gomez, who is the throw cam for Jomez Pro.
Oh, very cool.
He tied for 15th place. He shot even par for the round. Our buddy Corey Merle, Johnny Disc Golf, came in 24th place with a 5-over.
Okay.
And then Brian Geis, who is the slow-mo cam for Jomez and has worked with Central Coast in the past, came in 32nd place. So kind of fun to see some of the media guys actually taking a week off to play it instead of film it. So shout out to my fellow media homies for the hot rounds. Cool. All right, Sarah, I think that brought the vibe back up right where it needs to be to talk with Sarah Holcomb. So we will talk with Sarah, and then we'll come back, and we will chat about the Waco Annual Charity Open. We'll return in just a moment on PGA Radio. Welcome back to PGA Radio. Always good to catch up. How is life treating you these days?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Life is good. I'm out here in Waco, Texas, prepping for the Waco Charity Open. And yeah, I'm camping at a local's property, and there's a couple of other of us out here putting around and playing a little golf. And yeah, it's great.
Awesome.
Good times. I got a couple rounds of practice in already on the course.
Great. Cool. Well, hey, thank you for taking some time. Obviously, we'll talk Waco in a minute, but let's catch up. I think last time we talked to you, it was kind of rounding into the off season. How was your off season? How's the prep? How's the game feeling? You know, what's the status of Sarah Holcomb these days?
The off season was successful. I did the Christmas lights gig there through November, December, and then about mid January, I hit the course pretty hard and had a nice trip to Thailand for part of January and February. And then since then, I've been practicing, putting a lot of time in, and yeah, my game is feeling pretty good.
You were in Texas again doing the lights, yeah?
Yeah, up in the Dallas area.
Have you considered moving that to California? Because in my neighborhood in particular, we could really use you.
Oh yeah, this is it's a very franchisable.
These are total first world problems,
oh, yeah.
But like I actually,
I can make that happen. I can make that happen.
We talked about it on the show when it was done. I have a newfound respect for you. Not that I did not respect you already, but I went up on my roof and it's not fun.
Well, you kind of get used to it, but
man, I don't, that's I'm impressed. So how
I
was
mean, some of those roofs, though, we have special tools and stuff, and I don't really get on any of the really, really steep ones, honestly. I get on the lower ones.
still though, man, it's not very
Yeah,
fun.
it's fun though. It's fun.
So now, was this your, I can't recall, was this your first trip over to Thailand for that, for the Samui swine?
Yeah, I have actually had never been to Asia
Okay.
before. So it was kind of a, it was great. I experienced like culture shock like I hadn't experienced in a long time. So
What in particular,
that was
like
pretty cool.
what do you really take away from your time over there that really like left an impact on you?
Well, just in general that, you know, everybody, all the places, we all do this, you know, we have the basic human, you know, all the same things that we need, they need, and you know, they're all, everyone's human. And one of the things that was kind of striking to me was that there was a lot of Thai English underneath the Thai characters. So, and when I was in China, they also had English under a lot of the main words.
Really?
So I was feeling very, very fortunate and grateful that I grew up in the US and that, you know, other countries cater to our language. And that it, you know, it just makes traveling so much easier, and it's already challenging, you know, dealing with like trying to get a proper cab ride and really even explaining where you're trying to go when you can't even say the words. So that was, and also riding a motorbike for the first time. We kind of, I rented these, we rented these little Vespas in
Right.
on the island, and I had never really ridden one before, so it was a little bit challenging. It took me a good week and a half, 2 weeks to get comfortable on it.
And then as far as the golf goes, you come out and you know, obviously, and this is not to take anything away from you, but I think people were pretty excited to see what Paige was doing. It was her first big tournament with Discraft, and you come out and take an 8-shot victory. You know, that I'm sure that had to feel good. What was going on for you on the course?
Yeah, it really did feel good. It was, I was just very relaxed out there. I had put a lot of time into practicing the course because I was actually staying in a bungalow right adjacent to the third hole. So I would just walk over and play a bunch, and which was really awesome, you know. Yeah, and I just really felt good vibes. I mean, I could get to 8 of the 11 holes for birdie. So, you know, Paige could get to the other three that I couldn't get to, but
Sure.
you know, it, I think that there were just enough holes that I could get to
Okay.
that, you know, and the game was feeling good, you know, and we're both, Paige and I both were shaking off some rust. So, and you know, we're also like on an island. It's like the Hawaii of Thailand. I
Yeah.
mean, it's just beaches everywhere. It's underdeveloped too. So it's not like it's, you know, you're not faced with all these huge resorts taking up the whole beachfront. So, I mean, it was awesome. So, if she wasn't focused so much on disc golf, I don't blame her at
Sure.
all.
I was gonna say, like, was it a little harder for you to kind of get into a competitive mindset there? Because by all accounts, I mean, like, you see photos and video that comes out from this event, and yes, there's disc golf being played, but it also just looks like a massive experience, you know? So does that impact the gameplay between the ears?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I was definitely more relaxed. And also, I'm playing with three good friends of mine.
Right.
You know, View, who I hadn't met before that, we played several rounds together throughout the week and we were hanging out all week, you know, before the tournament. So we had become good friends. And then Brianna, I've been good friends with her for a while now. She was one of the reasons that I went over there. She kind of talked me into it. And then Paige, of course. So, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm playing with three awesome ladies. We're enjoying, you know, the beach after, before and after rounds, getting $10 massages every day, like having like fruit shakes as like half our calorie intake. I
Yeah.
mean,
Is this gonna become kind of an annual trip for you, do you think?
I would absolutely love to just spend a month there every January.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it wasn't, it was very inexpensive to do for what it, you know, for what it was, but it's still not cheap to get over there. You know, I
Right.
mean, it's, it's still like, you know, a plane ticket is still $800, and then, you know, then lodging and bike rental, and then all your food, and then of course you're going to spend money on, you know, excursions of sorts.
Yeah, you gotta have
So
some
yeah,
fun while you're there.
I don't know. I don't know if I can budget for it to do it every year, but maybe we'll see.
Maybe,
I would
maybe,
love to. I would love to do that.
maybe every other year.
And if anybody can go over there, I mean, it is very affordable. So, you know, if you're looking for a luxury at vacation at a budget cost, it's certainly the place to go.
Nice. So then, now you haven't played in any competitive tournaments that since then, and that obviously means we've had, you know, we had Vegas, which wasn't on a national tour or pro tour, but still a relatively large event, and then the Memorial, obviously kicking off the pro tour a couple weeks back. You know, what was the thought process for you in taking those couple off and really starting your proper season here at Waco this week?
Yeah, it was kind of a hard decision. I haven't missed those events in a while. And I decided that I was already in Texas anyway, and Waco is one of my favorite events to play. And honestly, the Memorial doesn't really play to my strengths as a player. I don't really enjoy playing those courses. So, and because the and then kind of with Vegas kind of paired with it, Vegas also we I love the property, and you know the TDs work really hard, and I appreciate that. You know, they add extra cash to the women's side. I think that's all great. They're doing all the right things. However, we play from the same tees as the men, and it's just boomtown. Like, I don't
Right.
want to go throw my arm out the first tournament of the season. And also, you know, it's not it, it's the score separation isn't there. It's simple. You know, it's a matter of distance, which is not my strength.
Sure.
So I decided that I was already in Texas. Why drive all the way to the Southwest to play two events that I don't really want to play, and just to come back right back to where I am? So instead, I decided to run some events in Texas. I ran an event last week with the Flying Goombas out at Wells Branch in North Austin. They are such a hoot. We had so much fun. And then the next night down at the Flying Armadillo in San Marcos,
Nice.
and that place is like Disneyland. It's so cool. It's got we played glow golf on a mini course, and all the holes are like 120 to 200 feet, and they have all these like one of the holes is in the top of a lighthouse. One
Oh,
of the holes
cool.
is like in a building that looks like the Alamo. There's just statues everywhere, and it's just really cool. So if you get a chance to go play that one, and there's also a big 18-hole course. It's like 6,000 feet.
Nice. So, I
So
mean, obviously, you know, then coming into Waco, you've performed well there. You've got a couple runner-up finishes, fourth place last year. Do you feel like maybe being a little bit fresher perhaps could give you a little bit of an advantage, or is that not necessarily something you're thinking about? Is it more just like, hey, this was the right spot for me here?
yeah, I do think I'll be fresher, for sure. You know, it's a tough 3 weeks for the tour when you're starting off in Vegas, boomtown all day, then you go into Memorial, another hyzer. You got to make all your birdie putts. You're battling wind, and then you got a long drive all the way to Texas. It's a long couple weeks. So I definitely feel like I'll be refreshed. And I
Okay.
think that's an advantage. And I've also, you know, you've probably seen posts out there from the other tour golfers. Several of them injured themselves in these first two events.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not trying to do that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, the other advantage I think about for you right now is, or maybe not an advantage, but definitely certainly a difference versus this time last year. This is coming into your second full year with MVP, right?
Yeah,
Is
that's it.
that,
That
are
was
you taking a little more
interesting.
comfort in that now? Do you feel like maybe you've got the angles dialed a little more and everything? Like, what's the vibe on that
Yeah,
front?
I definitely think so. I was looking at my, so I keep all my round notes throughout the years, and I was looking at my notes from last year here, looking at the disc selection I was choosing on some of the holes, and I'm making a lot of changes, you
Okay.
know, 'cause it's I'm th I mean I'm still the basics, but I'm definitely making a lot of changes. Some of the discs that I was throwing here last year, I don't even have in my bag anymore.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what I can do after, really getting a handle on the plastic.
What what shots in particular, what discs are you really kind of vibing with right now? I know you have a couple releases coming out with your name on them. What's the, what can you tell us about those?
As far as distance drivers, I'm really relying on the Trace, mostly as my straight distance. But in these woods, I'm really throwing the Crave and the Relay a lot. Those two are 6.5 speed, slow speed fairways that are just, they just do cool stuff, and you don't have to overpower them, and they fly, they have a lot of glide. So anyway, those are a couple of my favorites. And then I do have a custom stamp out right now for my tour series for this year. And it's actually kind of Thailand inspired. I'm calling it the Temple of the Serpent Sidearm.
Okay.
It's totally, I usually do stamps that kind of like show my silhouette. It's kind of my trademark. So I just kind of run with that. But this year I decided to go with something that actually like ha happened to me in Thailand that kind of changed my perspective on a couple things. I like got to hold this snake, this huge Burmese python, and I was like afraid of snakes. And after I got done holding it, it kind of felt like I was like had been in like a roller coaster. I was so exhilarated. So it really reminded, and I didn't feel afraid of snakes anymore after that. So it reminded me like if I face my fears that I can really, I have the opportunity to get like this great joy. So this stamp is kind of related to that. So it has a like a little silhouette of me throwing a sidearm, and then that line of the sidearm snakes into the tail of this serpent, and then the serpent is like coiled around this like Thai inspired temple with like a disc golf basket on top. And that kind of the disc golf basket and the temple kind of it's there because it's so important to me to have fellowship with other disc golfers. It's kind of like my church, it's my people. So it's like kind of those two themes merge into ones, like face your fears and enjoy the fellowship with each other.
I love the that there's like a full, like there's that much depth to the art.
Yeah, I work with this guy, Michael Ramanauskas from Double Ram Disc Design, I believe, Double Ram Disc. And he's just got, we get on the phone and we talk about different things, and he really has just a way of putting my thoughts into a beautiful piece of work.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic. So I'm finding it right now, and it looks like it's on a couple of di so it's basically a signature stamp, but it's on a couple different molds, right?
Yeah, it's on several different molds. Yeah,
Okay.
so right now I think it's available mostly in photons, maybe a catalyst,
I see an octane as well.
an octane. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was they sold out of the Envies and the Insanities and a couple other molds, so they'll probably restock those at some point. I don't know, they probably have to sell out of the others first. I'm not sure how that works yet. This is the first year actually that MVP has had a factory store, like
Right.
a pro shop.
I see that right now.
All
This
the
is.
other disc companies, yeah, all the other companies have one, and they were trying to work it out for a little while, and finally were able to get that together. And so now, I don't have to carry around discs to and ship stuff out of my van anymore. I'm super excited about that.
And this is over at mvpproshop.com, and you can find Sarah Hogan's Tortoise. It looks like the Tenacity is also, there's like one in stock of it.
Yeah.
So kind of shifting gears a little bit, looking at the field in Waco this week, it's pretty deep, 27 women playing. And then dovetailing with that, we've done a bunch of announcements about the Women's Global event in the last week or so. I know you're on the women's committee. There's a lot of big effort going into that. How are you feeling about the growth of the women's game, not just generally pro side, but across the board, and especially leading up to the Women's Global event? Where's your level on women in the sport right now?
I'm not very optimistic. I'm actually really excited to see what kind of turnout we get for the global event this year as kind of a benchmark. Just, I mean, we've been keeping track, and it's really hard to figure out exact numbers of women who actually are playing outside of simply PDGA membership. So I'm really excited to see how many people are playing competitively at this global event. And overall, I see small changes accumulating to big change. I see this happening. I see small changes happening everywhere, incrementally. And we're moving in the right direction. We just got to keep doing it. You know, nothing happens without the effort. And I think that, you know, as much as we accomplish one thing, it's time to, you know, once we do that, it's time to work through the next issue.
And I know some of the goals that we want, I think 150 events and everything like that for the women's global event. What do you see as the big push that the women's committee can make here? Is it just social media awareness? Is it telling your friends? Like, what do you think the best way is to keep getting the word out about this big event this year?
Yeah, I mean, for the Women's Committee, it's definitely important for us to do a lot of promotion, and we have a plan in place similar to what we did 2 years ago to make sure that people are aware of everything. I think really finding ways to empower all the local women to get out and grab a friend, or grab, you know, if they see that woman on the course that they don't talk to very often, maybe, you know, clue her into this global event, and really getting the stories out there that show how, you know, you could be apprehensive to be a competitive tournament player, but that, you know, so many women have found the global event as their first ever event and they never look back afterwards, you know. So I think that finding ways to empower all the local women to go and get into their communities and encourage the women they see out there to play it is the key.
And I have to say, like, it's encouraging for me speaking to you because I have talked to some other pro women, and granted, it's a little earlier on. There aren't not everywhere has a WGE yet, but you're already signed up for Daisy Chains on the
Yeah.
WGE weekend. Like, I love seeing that. Like, you are, you're walking the walk and talking the talk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great event, and who doesn't want to play a women's event? Oh my gosh, they're so much fun.
Yeah, but it's like it could be an
Always.
off week or something. You could take some time
Yeah,
off.
but
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
no, I'm skipping the glass blowing to have my off week.
Okay, there you go. I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit here because I don't think I've ever asked you this, but we're talking about, women in disc golf and everything. Is there a particular women's disc golfer that you've looked up to over the years who maybe has inspired you to do what you've been doing?
Yeah, no, so many, all of them. No, in particular, like in my early years, for sure, Des Redding. She was always very gracious about helping me with rules when I was first on the road. She would, like, you know, if she caught me, it wouldn't even be like that. If she saw me like setting up my stance wrong, she would help me, and or she would say something, you know, before it happened. If you know, once she's the one who taught me that I can't back into bushes. You know, if I'm trying to like get behind my lie, you know, but she did it really graciously, and I never felt uncomfortable about it. And, you know, and she's also, you know, on the same time probably called me on rules violations that, you know, when it was necessary. So I've always looked up to her for not even just that, but also, you know, she's just such a, especially what she does with her teaching, you know, she's such a great educator. So I really, you know, and she's always been willing to include me in any of that. Elaine King, I love her banter. She is able to keep it light on the course, and you know, she's one I can actually like kind of talk trash to, which I don't usually do, but
No, but
she's great at it.
she's
So
sneaky good at it, isn't she?
yeah, she's good. I love it. Yeah, and then of course Valerie Jenkins for her kindness. She just treats everyone. She's always treated everyone like they belong, and has just, you know, always, and what she's done for the women in the sport with disc golf for women, and then she started the global event.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. And then, you know, I look up to Paige for her just impressive abilities to play great golf and to throw the disc. You know, I look up to Kat for her work ethic. I mean, I look up to Kona for her social media presence. I look up to, gosh, I look up to, you know, Holly for her great attitude, no matter how she's playing. You know, I mean, there's so much to look up to.
I think you just gave us the best advertising we could ever ask for the Women's Global event right there. So, Just seeing how much respect you have for all the other women playing, and that it is this big community. Like, it's really encouraging. So I hope there's going to be a lot of women joining you out on the course on May 9th.
Yeah, there will be. It'll be great.
Awesome. Well, before that, Sarah, I hope you have a great time in Waco this weekend. Good luck.
I will.
And
Thank
thank
you.
you, as always, for taking time out for the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back on soon.
Perfect. That was Sarah Hokum, and we'll be back here in just a moment on PGA Radio. All right. The Beast is back this weekend. No, we're not talking about Nokia, the Beast. This is the Texas Beast. B with a lowercase b is what they put. It's like lowercase b, capital E-A-S-T. It's Brazos East Park.
Yeah,
Brazos East Park for the Waco Annual Charity Open. Second stop on the Disc Golf Pro Tour this weekend. It's always going to be a fun one. You got some open, you got some woods, you got the Brazos River, you got some Texas wind coming into play. It always gets a little bit goofy. If you'll recall correctly, we've had playoffs. We've had
weather.
Spectators getting in the way of shots, and maybe shots just kind of slipping. Yeah, weather. Either way, Waco always ends up being a fun event for this early stage of the year. It takes place Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And if you want to watch it live, you can only do it on the Disc Golf Network. This is the first one. At least for the first two rounds. First two rounds are on the Disc Golf Network, where you can subscribe and get 50% off the monthly rate if you are a PDGA member. It is discgolfnetwork.com. Final round will be free on the Disc Golf Network and Disc Golf Pro Tour YouTube channel. So that will be simulcast. So if you don't want to pony up for the first two rounds, you can at least watch the final round. However, if you don't pony up for the first two rounds, you are going to miss the live MPO feature card, which, if we're being honest, is kind of a big story, Sarah.
Yes.
Because it's got Paul McBeth, defending champion of the event, who shot and just a casual 18 under par in the second round last
under.
Year. Cale Lavisca, who is just slices up the woods and is super fun to watch play. Yeah, Sarah's putting up a heart on the screen. I would share that sentiment. I love Cale. He's just like one of the nicest guys in the sport, super fun to watch play. Cause like he's out there throwing these shots that are, he's not like crushing. Like, okay. You got Paul McBeth and also Drew Gibson on this card. And then you have Cale Lavisca, and Cale's going to keep up with them just fine. He's going to do it in a totally different way.
Yep.
In a much more like carving up the woods. He's going to throw M4s and stuff. It's going to be rad.
Can
and
I
he's
tell
just
a quick story about how
a nice guy.
Is? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I met up with him. You know when like you show up to a course and you're trying to play a round by yourself, trying to get a practice round in or something, and you show up at the exact same time as another couple people and you're like, this is just going to be weird because we're going to be like back and forth. Let's just play
right.
together. So I ended up playing a practice round at Worlds 2 years in 2018 with him, and then ended up, he gave me like all the lines and all of that sort of stuff in the woods, and I ended up shooting my 1,000 rated round out there. So
there you go,
Cale.
Yeah, I always end up running into Cale at whatever Starbucks there is in town.
Nice. Yeah.
Vegas, GBO, always end up running into Cale at Starbucks.
Very cool.
So yeah, he's just good people. I'm pumped to see him on the live coverage. I think he's one of those players that people kind of forget about sometimes because
he's not always out there full time.
But he's been playing a lot more this early part of the year, and I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
And then so obviously the final person we mentioned, Drew Gibson, who bombs and is coming off a strong performance at the Memorial. And the final person on the MPO feature card is none other than Brody Smith, who, as I'm sure people have followed who are into disc golf, is like coming over from Ultimate. He's a big YouTube influencer, quote, you know, celebrity, if you will. He's got a couple million followers on YouTube. He's a very talented thrower of the disc. He's an incredible athlete, but he is 923 rated, and this is his first pro tournament, and throwing him into the fire on the feature card, man. So.
I'm sure he's eating it up, though. If he's just an entertainer
he
by
could,
nature.
Yeah, and I mean, he doesn't have to do this, but Sarah, your thoughts, is Brody Smith on the feature card a good thing or a bad thing? Obviously, it doesn't have to be one or the other. We can have nuance to this. What do you got?
At first, I was a little, I'm not sure if we talked about this on air or off air in the past couple of weeks, but I think we did throw out the potential scenario of him being put on a feature card and how we would feel about that. And my initial reaction was like, oh, I feel like that's stealing the spot of someone who is more worthy. But I think the counter argument to that is because he is so influential and well known and people really want to see how well he does, especially under pressure, playing beside all these big names in disc golf, I think it's going to bring a lot of eyes to the coverage. So I don't fault the Disc Golf Pro Tour for making that decision. As far as media goes, I think it's probably a good idea, but
yeah,
as a player, I would actually like to poll, you know, like 20 dudes in the MPO
secret
field.
Poll.
Yeah. And just see what they feel about it.
Yeah. I kind of felt that way too. And then, like you said, there were some good points that people made, like, okay, so maybe he hasn't quote unquote earned it yet by his disc golf play, but he's certainly earned it by the amount of like it, attention he's already brought to the sport. Like there's plenty of people who are following along with Brody just because he's doing this. And so in that regard, like we're kind of in this era where we're trying to get disc golf to take that next step. And your media value is almost as important and sometimes more important, obviously in this regard, to what's going on in a tournament. So I think it's good for the Disc Golf Network because as far as I know, there are not going to be post-production cameras on this. It's only going to be live. So if you want to watch Brody, you got to subscribe. That's smart business. I think it's good for viewers. I think it's good for fans. I wonder if it's good for Brody or not. Like that's my only hesitation. And granted, this all comes with the caveat. I've not talked to Brody Smith. And I guarantee you he could have turned this down if he wanted to. That being said, man, that's a lot of pressure to just go straight into feature card, Paul Macbeth, Waco Annual Charity Open, very difficult course, first tournament going to the Wolves. You know, that's kind of my only concern. I hope that he goes into it with a good kind of mentality like that and understand that, you know, just set the expectations right, you know? So in that regard, Sarah, let's set the expectations. What do you think opening round? It's a par 67.
All right.
What do you think Brody Smith shoots?
Let's see here. I'm looking at scores from last year.
Yeah, I don't want ratings. I want a par number.
I know. I'm looking at scores from last year, and I'm scrolling down to
roughly where the rating is. He's 923 rated right now.
So, all right, here's a 925 rated player. This person actually did. Matt Sellers. Good for you. He shot he's an outlier. He shot way above his rating. He shot 10 down for the event. Let's see.
I just want first round. I just want first round, not the whole tournament.
All right, so par 60. I'm going to go 68. I don't think
he shoots a one over par.
Wait, you said par 64?
67.
Oh, 67. Then I think he's going to shoot a 71.
You think he's going to shoot a four over?
Yep. I don't think he's shooting under par.
Oh, I don't think he's shooting under par. I think you're underestimating how many over pars.
Really? Okay.
I think it's going to be, I think it's closer to between 7 and 10. I think that course is very difficult. If the wind kicks up, it's going to be really hard. And I'm not trying to diminish Brody Smith's skills at all. Like he is better than I am. I would go out to that course and get annihilated. But just from where the ratings stack up, you know, people in that ratings range last year were shooting 10, 11, 12 over per round. And it's a very difficult course, but there are some spots where he will be able to get some birdies. He can throw far. And so there are some more, if he can take advantage of some more of the open holes, it's kind of this is one of those half and half kind of courses. If he can take advantage of the open holes, I think he can score well on those. It's just going to be, you know, if you get off the fairway in the woods here, you're hacking. So it's going to be tricky for him. I think it's going to be closer to 7 or 8. I wouldn't even be surprised if it were 10 over the opening round. But it's going to be fun to watch anyway. I'm definitely going to watch it. You know, I texted Paul McBeth because they're traveling around a bunch, doing all these videos together. And so I kind of wanted to know, I said, hey, what, you know, what advice are you giving Brody before he comes on the feature card? And he says, don't suck. And then, but then he just says, this guy's played golf events and large ultimate tournaments. He doesn't need advice from me. And honestly, I didn't really expect Paul McBeth to say much different, but, you know, that's Brody Smith does have bigger game experience. It'll just be interesting to see where the mentality changes come in. I think it's, you know, we've talked about this. It's a different mindset to play a golf round versus an ultimate round or an ultimate match. Yeah. So,
one note,
it'd be fun.
I watched a video that he posted. It was his wife filming. I can't remember the name of the course, but it was a course that he had played a few months ago when he first started getting into disc golf. And he won. I think he shot like a few under par and wanted to see how he compared now after Paul McBeth lessons and new discs and all that. And I don't remember scores or anything like that, but the one thing I do remember is his wife saying, this is the most quiet I have ever experienced from you. And he was just like, yeah, you're right. Like, I'm super focused and this just feels like more serious. And as someone, I am a former competitive ultimate player myself, and yeah, it's a completely different feel than ultimate, which is very high energy, people cheering on the sidelines, maybe some smack talking to the other teams, that kind of stuff. That doesn't really happen in disc golf all that much, or it shouldn't happen. So I think it's going to be a completely different vibe. I'm not sure he's prepared for the silence and like the extreme focus, but we'll see.
Yeah, honestly, the more we talk about this, the more I'm actually getting excited to watch it. So I think like mission accomplished, Disc Golf Pro Tour. People are going to be pretty stoked to tune in. And you know, as much as we're sitting here trying to like throw out numbers and stuff, please know we're not trying to like disparage Brody Smith or his skills. We're just trying to talk about this realistically. Like, I like to think that we can talk about this sport in a realistic fashion. And this is a situation where it's a very inexperienced player who does have experience in other sports and athletics, but a very inexperienced disc golfer going into a very high profile setting. So I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with analyzing that from that lens.
You know what I'm a little bit sour about?
What's that?
Is that I've been playing for 12 years and I'm 9-11 rated, and he all of a sudden just plays one event and he's higher rated than me.
You got to play some more ultimate, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, let me ask you, you've been on feature cards and stuff. You know how much pressure there could be being on camera. What advice would you give him?
I'm a little bit weird in that I think the cameras tend to make me focus more and make me play better. Actually, I'm not sure if that's true. If you look at my stats with that, one of my best rounds ever, I was actually on Terry Miller's first female full recorded round at Am Worlds in 2014. And I had like the best round of my life. Granted, that was before I was pro. But then I also had one of the worst rounds of my life at Iron Hill when I was on the feature card for the Delaware Disc Golf Challenge a couple of years ago. But I don't know. It makes me feel... this might sound corny, but being on camera makes me feel special and valued, which makes me want to focus more and try harder because I know people are going to be watching. And I just feel like, man, if people want to watch me play disc golf and film it, that must mean that I'm pretty good and deserving of this. So that kind of comes into my head. And that's kind of just the same with if I've got like family members there or friends spectating, that sort of thing, it's all in the same vein. I just feel like special and, you know, worthy and deserving of people's eyes. So I'm not sure if that answered your question at all, but as an entertainer and someone who's been in those kind of high pressure scenarios, I don't think he's going to crumble as far as the pressure from other people. Where I think he's going to have issues is the pressure that he puts on himself. And
that's fair.
We all do that, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. No one asked me for my advice, but I would just say par is good and par is good.
Yes.
Like don't try and keep up with Paul Macbeth. Par is good.
Yeah.
And you'd be good to go. You know, we're spending all this time talking about the MPO feature card. There is FPO coverage as well, mixed in with the MPO feature card, and that will feature Paige Pierce, Lisa Fakus, Heather Young, and defending champion Katrina Allen. Initial takes on that card, Sarah. I'm pretty stoked. We get some Lisa Fakus. We haven't seen her, honestly. Like, she had a little bit of a down year last year. We didn't see her on as much coverage as normal. Obviously, we can talk about the Paige Pierce Katrina Allen rivalry ad nauseum, and then we've got Heather Young, who honestly, I'm super stoked to see on this coverage. I think this course suits her well. What are you looking at going into this one?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I spoke to her, she was really excited about traveling a little bit further for the first time to play a big event like this. I hope that she kind of just revels in the fact that, like what I was just saying, that she doesn't second guess her shots, that she knows that she's good enough to be on a feature card, and that people want to watch her play because she's super skillful and just somebody to watch as an upcoming young player. And so I will definitely be tuning in for that. That is why I will watch that card. The other people fine. Like, we get to see them play all the time, but I'm very excited to watch Heather in particular.
Yeah, I am as well. I think that was honestly, like, that's what really stuck out to me about that card first, was that Heather Young was going to be on it. This is a Prodigy sponsored event, so that kind of makes sense as well. But man, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see how she handles this course. You know, but there is a pretty wide disparity in ratings between her and Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen. So obviously I would think the show will be probably between those two. You know, we're still looking at Katrina coming off some putting struggles, and she's had putting struggles at Waco in the past, but she has also, you know, been able to overcome those mid tournament, especially here. We've seen that. So I'm curious to see where she's at in that regard. And then we obviously have Paige Pierce, who just set another women's rating record at 981. We totally didn't even talk about that stuff in this show, Sarah. Her and Paul, both records, 1061 for Paul Macbeth, 981 for Paige Pierce. So we have the top rated women's player ever, literally, on this card. Is she the outright favorite for this event then?
I would say so. We're still so early in the season. We're not really sure how people are going to shake out and what, you know, how strong people are going to be for the rest of the season. But if, you know, her first event was any indication of what the rest of the season is going to look like, I feel like she's a favorite for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, it is really tough though, to compare the Memorial and this tournament, two vastly, vastly different events. So, it should be fun to watch. Again, you can see all this stuff over on the Disc Golf Network. And then the women's feature card will be on GK Pro as well. And then there's also going to be separate feature cards on Jomez Pro. They will be doing the MPO lead card for the rest of the tournament, but their first round feature card is with Kevin Jones, Simon Lazat, Jeremy Colling, and Calvin Heimberg. And then Parsave Productions, those guys are back for this one. I'm happy to see that. They were kind of on the road a little bit last year, and I think they hit some struggle to step back from things. But I've talked with their main guy behind that company, Craig, and he's a good dude, and they want to get back at it. So I'm happy to see that they're here. They're going to be on MPO Chase Card, and their feature card is going to have Vine Immacula, Nate Perkins, Emerson Keith, and Addison Collins. So that's going to be a fun card as well. If you need more info on this stuff, you can go over to the Disc Golf Pro Tours Facebook page. We'll also have like some intel on the PDGA website by the time this shows out. There should not be a lack of information. So hopefully you will find it all. With that in mind, Sarah, we got to make some picks for the Waco Annual Charity Open. I get to go first, but I'm going to defer to our listener picks first. These come from Matt Winter. Matt, thank you for sending in your picks. He's taking On the MPO side, Jeremy Colling, and on the FPO side, Sarah Hokum. So going with a couple sidearm-friendly players. And top five, Paige Pierce, Paul McBeth. What do you think about those picks?
I feel
do you think
like
the listeners are going to get some points?
I think they'll definitely get some points, but if I were picking first, I would probably swap those two around.
Yeah.
We'll see what you do though.
I'm not going to swap those around.
Okay.
So I'm going to start on the MPO side. Obviously, yes, Paul McBeth, defending champion, shoots 18 under par. Probably should be the outright favorite, but you know, if I'm going to pick Paul McBeth every week, I'm just going to get bored with the picks. So no offense, Paul, not picking you this week. Also not going to pick Eagle McMahon because he just is probably going to be jet lagged as all get out because he just played in like Spain, I think, over the weekend.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, I believe he went to the event in Mijas. At least he was supposed to. Maybe he didn't end up going because now it's not on his sheet. But he was supposed to be at that Mijas Open, but maybe he dropped it last minute. Hmm. Anyway, I don't know. If Eagle's not jet lagged, that changes my calculus. But not too much because I'm looking down a few players at a man named James Conrad. And James Conrad plays well at this course. It's time for him to bounce back from, you know, the early, you know, open stuff at the Memorial where maybe it's not his strength. This event is his strength. He's performed well in the past. I like James Conrad to get his first win of the season.
Nice.
So who do you got for the MPO then? Are you going to take Paul?
That frees me up to take Paul. He did, I mean, at Memorial, we saw one of his rounds was very un-Paul-like, but knowing him, I mean, he's had 2 weeks. I'm sure he's figured it out and is back even stronger. So I have to pick
him. I would think so. All right, then top five for myself. I'm going to put Eagle in the top five slot. I just think he's too good to not come out to this tournament if he's rested. Maybe I should check his social media channels before I make this account, but whatever. Let's go Eagle top five.
He just posted that he, I believe his new rating is 1052. Yeah.
Yep.
Very hot. Let's see. I think I'm going to go Calvin Heimberg. I mean, that just seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, the way he's playing right now?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm guessing he did not go. I'm guessing Eagle did not go to España. So, all right. Anyway. All right, FPO then. We have... I'm going to go... See, this one, I'll take my chalk pick. I'll go with Paige Pierce.
Okay, fine. Then, I don't know. Paige Bjerkus came in second place here behind Katrina Allen last year. She's still playing pretty solid, I mean, from what we've seen from her this year. Oh, man, but then there's Hannah and Evelina.
27 women in this field. Pretty deep women's field, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yep. Oh, and then you got Valerie Mondejano. Oh, there's so many to pick from. I'm going to go Henna. It's kind of like a toss up for me between Henna and Evelina at this point.
All right.
I just flipped a fake coin and I'm going
there. We
Henna.
Go. You know what? I like, I was willing to make a bold prediction this year that Heather Young would win an NTR Pro Tour, but she can't win an NTR Pro Tour until she gets a top five at an NTR Pro Tour. So I'm going to say Heather Young. Top five. I think it's a very realistic possibility.
I agree. Totally. I am going to pick Valerie Mondejano then. She's from Texas. She's going to have her whole family there, I bet. And yeah, she's 950 rated now.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Her rating went up. Actually, her rating went down 1 point.
Oh, okay.
She's still killing it. So
the quality of the women's field is just getting so much better. I love it.
Yeah.
It's great. Cool. All right. So again, Disc Golf Pro Tour, Waco Annual Charity Open. Find it all on the Disc Golf Network and check out our coverage over at pga.com for more. Should be good to go. One last check-in. We, for anyone who was listening last week to before the hot rounds, we talked about there were going to be a couple players from Mexico coming across to Texas to play at a tournament called Spring Break the Chains. And we have a small update. We forgot to put this in the hot rounds. We should have had Javier's hot round in the hot rounds. Sorry about that, Javier. But Javier Cruz did shoot a 921 rated opener at the Spring Break the Chains. And he actually sent us a little bit of an update, which I would like to read on the air real quick. So he was super stoked that we talked about him and his buddies on the podcast last week.
Awesome.
So he finished third place in the intermediate division. He said, in the first round, I finished tied in first place with two other guys at 3 under par. But I think nerves, lack of experience, and a couple bad decisions made me finish in third place. And he says, I'll continue growing for sure. And thanks for the shout out. Thank you, Javier, for listening. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. And we hope next time you're on top of that intermediate division. So pretty cool to get an update on that tournament from Javier. And Sarah, you have a small correction you want to make from last week before we go?
I lied to everybody. Last week I was planning on doing an online Zuka Kart raffle from my Ladies and Gents doubles website. And I have since learned that I am not allowed to do that. So I will be raffling. Yeah. So I've got the Zuka cart in my possession and I will most likely be raffling it locally. And then of course a second Zuka cart will be in the Ladies and Gents raffle on April 18th. So sorry y'all, if you are looking forward to doing the online raffle, but if you would like to just donate or become a sponsor for the Ladies and Gents doubles event, all of the proceeds go to the South Carolina Cancer Alliance, and you can visit ladiesandgentsdoubles.com.
All right, there we go. I'm going to do one shout out before we go to all my fellow 311 fans. And I don't know how many of you are there out there listening to the show, but it is 311 day by the time this show comes out. It is our holiday, people. So crank it up. And, you know, keep it positive. I've been listening to that band for longer than I want to admit. And honestly, they're like my favorite band. So it's always a little mini celebration for me. So I hope everyone out there is tuning up in their cars. And with that, Sarah, I will bid you adieu. Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you. You too.
Enjoy the Waco coverage, and we will talk about it next week. So for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PDJ Radio. Be sure to subscribe. Find us on your favorite podcast. Leave us a review, all that good stuff. And until next week, be good to each other. We will talk to you soon.